The following podcast is sponsored by SuperheroStuff.com.
This is H2O on Sci-Fi from Your Radio. Jason Hunt here across the table from Timothy Harvey.
Hello.
And you were listening to the radio.
He's pointing at me. He's pointing at me, folks. He wagged his pen at me.
Yes, I did. you were listening to the radio the
I
other
was listening
day.
To the radio.
And?
Well, it's interesting. They had the president of FX on, and
First of all, how are you?
I'm all right.
Feeling better?
Yeah. We're both dealing with there's this thing that's been going around town, and it ends up being in your head and in your chest, and then it goes away, but it lingers. You have this sort of thing, which is kind of cool with your voice. But it's also kind of annoying.
And I've got the added complication of all of the concrete dust because they're cutting into the street out.
I managed to park close to that. In fact, across the street from the bunker, and I was surprised. I turned around the corner and went right.
Yeah, they're replacing the water main,
in ten
blocks north to south,
mm.
and I think a mile east to west. I mean, all of that area, they're replacing the water main pipes in all of this. Oh, that's just going to be a mess. But it's better than the water main breaking six times a year like we've had in the past. So,
yes, generally speaking, it's preferable to actually have water.
I should post a picture on Instagram of the water stash that I've got here, because I got to the point where, you know, I empty the milk jugs and I've got gallons of water all over the house.
First apartment I lived in when I moved to Kansas City, and I actually stayed in that building until they evicted us all because they were remodeling and new ownership and all that stuff, which they have finally reopened the building and I can no longer afford to live there.
Because that's just how it works, isn't it?
The apartments are very pretty. They got hardwood floors now. That's just crazy. But anyway, but I digress. The building was quite old. And, I mean, it's like, nine floors. And there were, like, I think were 220, 250 apartments. And periodically, you'd have no water.
Yeah.
And so, luckily, at the time when I moved in, there was a grocery store around the corner. And they opened at 6. So you would do this. You'd realize that the water had gone off in the middle of the night.
Sure.
And yet you still had to go to work in the morning. So you would run down the street, buy, you know, 3 or 4 gallons of water, run back and do
there's
something.
Shower.
Something resembling a shower bath. Uh-huh. But yeah, so I know exactly what it's like. So it's good. Yes, that's good.
Yeah.
But it's... They did a fair amount of construction around my current apartment over the last couple of years, and it's kind of like,
again, yeah.
I'm glad you're doing this, but yeah. So yes. So I'm listening.
Listening
to NPR, and the show is Studio 360. Little plug there for a public radio program, which is actually pretty good.
Which they didn't pay for.
They did not. Although they can send the check to. And they'll go, we just finished a pledge drive, guys.
Yeah, good point. Right.
So, but anyway, they had the president of FX, the TV network, on, and he's given a talk recently about we've reached the peak of television because we have all these amazing shows on, and everyone talks about this is like the golden age. This is this new, you know, explosion of creative content. Is the golden age of television, the new golden age, right? Because obviously, and you look at television, you could make clear arguments for, you know, when the golden age was. But if you're looking at terms of range of storytelling, types of storytelling, you know, I think it'd be very hard to argue that this is not the golden age because you have so many choices. And that's the problem.
Yes.
Because you have this, look, in the old days, and when I say old days, I mean 15 years ago?
Less than that,
yeah. Well, cause it, and, you know, you and I joke about being old quite a bit. We do the whole turn to the person, the old person next to you. The reality is that we are not that old.
Right.
But the we have seen this explosion, not only in the explosion of technology, but the explosion in entertainment, in the formats of entertainment, in the range of entertainment that's available. You know, literally, this is one of those literally turn to the old person next to you because you can't find him anymore. My dad had a reel-to-reel recorder and player. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then cast your mind back to a science fiction film from the 50s where you saw the little spinny discs on the side of the computer. Well, imagine that for recording audio or playing back audio. And, you know, I grew up on records and 8-track tapes. We were listening to 8-track tapes when I was a kid driving back and forth to Iowa.
I have a unit in the garage that has a turntable, AM, FM radio, cassette player, and an 8-track player. And my parents got it for me when 77, 78.
Well, and there was a time, and again, when in the 70s, AM radio was really all there was.
Yeah.
And so, if you listen to, I remember lying on my bed with the large, giant-sized Marvel Comics Star Wars.
I remember those.
Okay, I had those. And listening to you were listening to things like Elton John. It was before the big explosion of alternative music. So you were pretty much, if your radio was classic rock, what we call classic rock now.
Right.
And no, I've heard it on classic rock stations, but Motley Crue is not classic rock. I'm sorry. 20 years from now, Motley Crue might be considered classic rock, but they are not, guys. Poison is not classic rock.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the Black Crowes being played on classic rock.
Oh, so that's even worse. That's even worse. Because
it's too soon.
Yeah, because they're even younger than So it's...
I can accept Motley Crue because they're a hair band. You know, they're in that. Motley Crue, Def Leppard, Megadeth. I mean, they're Megadeth was the metal, but that group, all of those guys. You know, Poison, Whitesnake.
Mm-hmm.
You know that early '80s.
It's not classic rock.
Hair
metal. It's hair bands.
It's right at the end of the classic rock era. Because after that, it was all Justin Bieber and boy bands. So,
there's a gap in between there. We had the
Menudo.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Menudo
and Milli Vanilli bridge the gap.
Los Lobos has put out a new album.
Are they really?
And it's so good.
Really?
And this is my pitch for you kids at home. Go out and buy something. If you're going to, because Jason and I, I guarantee that you and I both have the same memory of La Bamba.
Yeah.
Which is, and the Ritchie Valens movie. I think there's a segment that beyond that, that's their Los Lobos experience.
Well, that's all I've got.
But they've done so much more. I've gotten here a good chunk of the new album. It is really good.
I'm gonna have to check that out.
This is my plug for a music choice. But anyway,
well, you want to talk about feeling old? Mm-hmm. Stevie Ray Vaughan's birthday was not too long ago,
right? Yeah,
and I did the math, and he would have been in his 60s.
Now,
if he was still alive, and I.
About just, half
I remember thinking to myself, where did the time go?
I know.
How long has he been dead now?
My daughter turned 25. My daughter just turned 25. I know. It's
crazy.
Well, hang on. Wasn't she just a tiny, tiny baby not like yesterday? But the thing is that we're not old. This is the way life works.
Yeah.
So, but the model of entertainment has changed dramatically. Okay, the options have changed. People don't necessarily realize it, especially if you are under a certain age where you've always had cable.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about the three channels plus PBS if the weather was good. The explosion of cable changed everything, but it didn't change it right away because cable basically for a while there was your second run movie options. Okay,
right.
your Cinemax and your Showtimes and your HBOs, they were showing the film that played in the theater the year before.
Yeah.
And there was a gap.
Right before it went to home video.
And there was a big gap sometimes. Yeah. And then you'd have channels like Nickelodeon where they were experimenting with programming.
You can't do that on television.
The Learning Channel, back when it was the Learning Channel.
Arts and Entertainment.
I remember watching a really amazing version, Peter O'Toole doing Pygmalion.
Do you remember when Spike was the Nashville network?
Oh, yeah. I don't even like country music, and I watched. It's the damn old MTV joke, you know. Remember when MTV?
Oh yeah.
You know, we just did a gig. We just did a gig for an MTV flavor, it was fine.
And it wasn't anything involving music.
It wasn't. It was a good crew to work with. They were nice kids.
Yeah.
But the difference is that you would wait up. I snuck down to the television in the family room for the midnight premiere of .. I mean, whatever it was, because MTV, they'd premiere it.
Do you remember? Now we're
Madonna music videos.
Do you remember the HBO, the big production that they used to do in their feature presentation with the mothership?
Remember
that?
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I remember watching the behind the scenes on that.
Mm-hmm.
How intricate and elaborate that whole setup was, mm-hmm. that fly through, because you're basically, for those of you who've never seen it, look it up on YouTube. There are several versions of it. But the camera is flying over the town,
mm-hmm.
which is a physical model,
mm-hmm.
and flies out over the countryside, which is a physical model. They built a warehouse.
CG existed, but it was nowhere near the kind of thing that you could do.
Yeah. Most of this was
practical.
Practical. Yeah. Yeah, including the flying logo. Mm-hmm. That whole thing was made out of, I think, brushed aluminum or something.
Mm-hmm.
That takes you back, doesn't it?
Well, you'll remember what...
Well, and that goes to that TED Talk from Barry Schwartz, mm-hmm. talking about the fact that we have too many choices.
Right, and that's exactly what the president of FX was referencing, is that he referenced the fact that we got the paradox of choice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you end up with this... you're not paralyzed by your choices, but your lack of... your sense of pleasure in the choice that you've made... diminishes.
Right.
And
because you don't know if you made the right one.
Exactly.
Buyer's remorse sets in almost immediately.
And so we live in this, and we live in a country where we have choices that there are millions and millions of people on the planet who don't have anywhere near the level of choice we have. You constantly hear about somebody who, of course, refugee stories are in the news a lot right now because we have this amazingly terrible refugee crisis.
Yep.
Which we have not seen the level of refugee crisis like this since World War II. So that's a perspective thing right there. I mean, it's that kind of devastation that we're looking at here. People who come to the United States, and the first thing they go to a grocery store, and they're like, what am I supposed to do with this?
Right.
Because
There's too many things.
What's the difference between, how many cans, types of soup do you need? And we don't think about it.
Right.
And the thing is that it's happening with entertainment as well. We see, and we talked about this over on our DC podcast, Rogues Gallery, where the plug for our other podcast, one of our many other fine podcasts you can find on scififorme.com. My little radio voice there. Hi there.
That's your NPR voice. I call it your NPR voice.
It is my NPR voice. It's also my middle of the night jazz voice. And we got a little bit from the Blue Note. Anyway, so but the thing is that you have how many Star Wars movies are they really going to put out? How many Marvel movies are they really going to put out? How many DC movies? You look at this and you're looking at a yearly schedule. And of course, we just plug for an article on the website. You just put up the one about the change in the Marvel schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at these things and we go, and one level you go, that's so cool. We're getting all these great movies.
Yeah.
And on another level, you sit there and go, hang on. How long is this sustainable?
Mm-hmm.
And this is what the president of FX was talking about.
Well, and we know from Dark Matter, we're going to get Star Wars 36.
Yeah,
well, in Ultimate VR,
right.
Whatever that was. And, of course, we got Jaws 19
mm-hmm.
in 3D.
Well, and I think that you there was a time when, and again, it was not that long ago. This is perspective here. The cable was, the explosion of cable was the 80s.
Yeah.
Okay. It's 2015. So you're looking at really 30, 35 years, less maybe, for the explosion of entertainment. Because again, even though it sounds like we're talking about it because we're so old, mm-hmm. we really can remember the time when you went to see a movie in the theater and it played for almost a year.
Yeah, that model has changed so much.
Well, and of course, you know, all of this stuff will always change. You know, you don't go to the movie theaters to watch newsreels anymore.
Right.
You don't go to the movie theater to watch an episode of a serial.
Well, and they just announced, Pocketbooks just announced a new Strange New Worlds competition.
Mm-hmm.
They finally made it official today, the day that we're recording this. We're recording this on Thursday. And they finally put out the details of what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the first publication is going to be an ebook,
mm-hmm.
and possible print version after that. How much has that changed? Because the first collections of Strange New Worlds, they were all books. They were all actual physical books.
Like right.
Books, young mm-hmm. man, books.
Sure.
And now, yeah, everything's going electronic. Everything's in a device.
Yeah, but there's also, the long-standing argument that, you know, this stuff is going to go away. It's going to drive books out of it. It's just not the case.
No. And I'm not saying that, but it's another one of those sign of the times you've got everything geared toward the electronic distribution, the online distribution, the cloud.
Right.
And I think we're going to see a lot more of that in television and film. Well, I mean, look at what Paramount just did. Paramount just put a bunch of their movies on YouTube
mm-hmm.
for free.
Yep.
I don't know where this is going, where they're going to be able to make money.
Well,
see, that's the other thing is at some point somebody is going to has to figure out how to monetize online content distribution.
Whoever figures that out is
going to be a bazillionaire.
Well, and the interesting thing is that you know that people have been thinking about this since the first person had the idea of a webisode.
Oh yeah,
and
yeah.
they have.
How do we make money doing it?
And they, aside from subscription services, and subscription services work to a point.
Mm-hmm.
But to use an obscure, a really off base thing, because I just saw an article about this not too long ago, and we never talk about this stuff anyway. But look at the porn industry. So we've never gone here,
right?
But the reality is that when you could only get it, you could mail order it.
Yeah, you could only get it by paying for it.
Right. And now all you have to do is go to the internet and actually all you have to do is go to Google and just random search something. You'll probably come across it. It's everywhere. Yes. But it is
reminds me of that Bloom County with the nuns.
Yeah. But the thing is that it has completely destroyed their business model.
Mm-hmm.
They've got. They're doing. You know, like everybody else, they're doing all these things to figure out how to make money because nobody has to pay for anything anymore.
Right.
So television is free, right? You get your television for free, right?
For now. Yeah.
Okay. Now your subscription services online aren't necessarily free.
Right.
Right.
And you have federal regulations in place that say that certain airwaves are going to stay free no matter what.
Sure. Which. One hopes we can maintain that because what we have also seen, although we've seen it mostly on cable, we've seen network television have a renaissance in programming as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And we, again, not that long ago, can remember when the desolate wasteland that was the 40 million reality TV shows.
And talk shows.
That were on... prime time network television. So the fact that we're getting content you know, reality
and,
TV.
And the fact that so much of it is genre content.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is, you know, because back in the 80s, it was all Dallas and Dynasty and Knott's Landing and, you know, there were soaps at night.
Yeah, they were essentially soap operas.
Yeah, and then you had your talk and such. But or cop shows, you know, procedurals like Hill Street Blues or your private detective shows, like Magnum P.I.
And, or you'd have your variants. Murder, She Wrote, you'd have your variants. MacGyver wasn't really a procedural. MacGyver was a...
Well, MacGyver was kind of a P.I.
Which they're rebooting.
Gadget guy, yes.
And
they're already been talking about MacGruber.
Well, see, this is a topic for another day, but we have to ask yourself one. You look at MacGyver. MacGyver is an analog hero. He solves problems physically, not fighting, but he takes this physical thing and that physical thing,
paperclip and a rubber band,
and he builds a jet engine. You know
exactly. How are you going to do that show?
So either
now,
and you know what? Part of me says, convince me, give me that character in this world, and I think you could basically get all the viewers, because then you're going to have the folks who are our age and remember the show, our parents who remember the show.
But on the flip side of that, you have people our age who remember the show, who remember Knight Rider, who Bionic Woman.
But you're also going to get the kids who don't know who it is. But it's going to have to be good.
And you know it won't be.
Well, that's the statistically odds are good. It will not be good because what we have seen over and over and over again is that the people who remember those shows, who are running the networks, remember them through a filter.
Yes.
And I understand that filter. I completely understand it. I loved Battlestar Galactica when I watched it as a kid. And you look back at it and go, sometimes it's still fun, but sometimes you sit there and look at it and go, ew, that's just
cheesy. There are moments, but you have to look at it for what it was, what it is now.
That's the other thing.
That's the trick. Well, it's like watching Starsky and Hutch.
Oh, sure.
If you did that show now, you could still do it pretty much the same way. Just, you know, modernize the sensibilities as far as what kind of cases you're dealing with, kind of people and personalities. But the core of that show could essentially remain the same.
Right.
The movie didn't get that.
The movie was playing as a comedy.
Yeah, the movie just totally turned it on.
There is a difference with looking back at something that was written and done in a different time for a different market.
Mm-hmm. With different standards and practices, divisions in place.
Well, but also, you know, again, the change happened so quickly. The change, because for probably... You look at television in the 60s and 70s, and there was not necessarily a sameness in content, but there was a sameness in style.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there were rules of what you could and couldn't do on television, and you would occasionally find a show, oddly enough, science fiction shows did it a lot. Twilight Zone did it, Star Trek did it, where they would push the boundaries of what you have. They said, you can't show a woman's belly button. Okay. This alien has three. Dun, dun, dun. You know, black people and white people kissing?
Yeah.
Oh, so.
Well, and it's funny you say that because we had talked about the fact that Dark Matter has that 80s.
Oh, yeah, very
show
much so. Very
vibe.
Much so.
I finally caught up on that the other day. By the way.
It's
yeah, I like it.
Yeah, it's very curious because, I mean, especially if you are of an age, we're watching Cleopatra
25
or Mutant X or those
Lex.
Things. Lex or War of the Worlds. Some of these things that were
Andromeda.
You know, this is stuff that was exploding on cable channels and
and the syndicated stuff, the first run syndicated, that was all that was blown up too, because Star Trek The Next Generation was one of the first ones of those.
Sure.
And then by the time Voyager rolled around, you had Paramount coming up with their own new network now that was all going to be first run syndicated stuff. You had Xena and Hercules and Sliders and all of those.
And it's something that...
Time Cop.
No, Time Cop.
You remember Time Cop?
I remember Time Cop.
Oh.
it's so the, again,
they're rebooting them. By the way.
Of course they are. The explosion. You know, this is not a new explosion. This is a movie explosion. Okay, so it exploded back in the 90s. Or in the, actually in the 80s, but it started to get bigger in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And then it just keeps getting, it's Michael Bay explosion.
Yes.
And it just keeps getting bigger. And finally they're going, the whole world is on fire. But there is like 4,000, I believe he actually said there's 4,000 programs on right now.
Mm.
Okay. We cover a lot of shows on the website.
Yeah.
We are never going to cover 4,000 shows.
Oh, thank goodness.
I guarantee you that the largest entertainment sites online are not covering all 4,000 shows.
Right.
And there's a reason for that, because I'd say, like every great thing, there's a certain law, and 90% of everything is crap.
Yep. Yep, Sturgeon's Law.
Sturgeon's Law.
Well, and it's funny you say that, because, you know, I look at some of the different things that we are covering,
mm-hmm.
and one of those is Steampunked,
mm-hmm.
which is over on the Game Show Network, which has kind of been flying under the radar, because I've been looking online to find other recaps, you know, reviews and people talking about it, mm-hmm. because every week I have to look for photographs for the show, because mm-hmm. we're doing recaps on it, and the PR company
mm-hmm.
doesn't send me anything.
Mm, right.
And the network, I've got press access to the network, but the only thing the network has are photographs of the hosts and judges and a logo.
Right.
They don't do episodic photos, because it's a game show network.
Right.
And I guess they're not used to doing this kind of thing, because, you know, they do the competition stuff, but, you know, most of the time at night, it's they're running Family Feud.
Right.
It's a weird dichotomy of this kind of thing. So every week I'm doing a search online to find images and mm-hmm. stuff and things. And there are not a whole lot of people that are covering this show.
Right.
And, you know, you look at something like Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
There's 3,000 different websites that cover Arrow.
Wait, people watch Arrow?
Yeah.
People, there's...
Number was up, the highest ratings on the premiere season four.
I have not watched the new episode, and
so it's pretty good.
Oh, good.
It's pretty good.
No spoilers.
Yeah. Gotham was down, Arrow was up in
shocked.
The ratings.
Shocked I am.
Yes. But, I mean, you've got sites that are covering Arrow, sites mm-hmm. that cover The Flash and Gotham and all of those things. Lost had a lot of coverage.
Of course, sure.
Heroes Reborn. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of these shows. There are so many of them,
mm-hmm.
and that's kind of something that we run into. You know, and we're kind of at this point now where we're trying to figure out, you know, what do we cover? How mm-hmm. do we cover? And you know, we've talked about it on this show. You know, the different goals and ideas and plans and schemes and stuff that we have for the website. And over the past this past weekend,
mm-hmm.
I had a little bit of an existential crisis. A little midlife hiccup.
Yeah.
One of those things where you sit there and you just suddenly have a gut check.
Mm-hmm.
And you look around at everything that you're doing in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, what am I doing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with this problem.
And we're going to pick up there when we come back from our break. We'll let you listen to our messages from our sponsors, SuperheroStuff.com and Atomic Cotton. And we'll talk about my existential crisis a little bit when we come back.
I'm going to get some more coffee, and I'm going to look at the Superhero Stuff site, because it's been too long since I've sat there and dipped my head into the wonderful range of stuff they have there.
Yes. So we will do that and be back when H2O continues right after this.
You're listening to H2O on Sci-Fi for Me Radio.
Age of Ultron stuff.
SuperheroStuff.com.
Where can you get Justice League stuff?
SuperheroStuff.com.
Where can you get Doctor Who stuff?
SuperheroStuff.com.
Where can you get Daredevil stuff?
SuperheroStuff.com.
New items being added all the time. Get your superhero stuff at SuperheroStuff.com. Plus, the Hero Box is back. $70 worth of superhero stuff for only $49. SuperheroStuff.com, where heroes shop.
Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is back, and so is our discussion of each and every episode as we gather down in the super-secret underground bunker at World Headquarters. Join us for recaps, analysis, and discussion, with a few digressions along the way, and you do have security clearance to listen. Level 117 every week, part of Sci-Fi for Me Radio, only on scififorme.com, your portal to the science fiction multiverse.
Atomic Cotton, where Erica and Zach combine their passion for art and film to create wearable art. All original, made with a love for the genre. Coming to a convention near you very soon, or find them on the web at atomiccotton.com. Atomic Cotton, shirts and art for fans by fans.
You want a multiverse? We've got them all. Get the latest news at scififorme.com.
Back on H2O, Jason Hunt here along with Timothy Harvey.
New.
Coffee mugs full of liquid
energy,
liquid happiness. I could use some of that this week.
This is made of gold and rainbows and ground up unicorns.
Yes, exactly. Don't tell Molly.
Don't.
The email address for our show here, h2o@scififorme.com. And of course, you can leave comments over on our social media and on our website. You can call our hotline, which is 573-42-SCI-FI. And that's something I want to focus on that for just a minute, because we talk about choices. We talk about the plethora of different things that are out there.
You're just happy you use the word plethora in a sentence.
I've been looking forward to it all week. I know. Trying to figure out, how do I say plethora this week?
Where's the right place to say plethora?
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know.
Oh, one thing that I do want to note. We occasionally, when we talk about turning to the old person next to you, Tim got it from me. I stole it, and I want to kind of give a credit out. This came from Donna Cutting over at Red Carpet Learning. Mm. She does employee workshops.
And,
make me do my job better workshops,
sure,
right?
Of course. Uh-huh.
And I, in my day job, I videotaped one of her seminars, workshops, and that was one of the things that was one of her gags, whenever she would talk about something from back when, you know, turn to the old person next to you. Yeah. So I kind of lifted that from her. Well, I didn't kind of. I did lift that from her. I just wanted
You do have to give credit because if Twitter has taught us nothing, it's that passing off your. Something.
Although, if we get changes in copyright, like what people are talking about now, nothing's going to be protected ever again.
Well,
hear some of the doomsayers.
I have my doubts. I applaud making Happy Birthday public domain, because that was a fairly ridiculous example of how to use the system.
I heard something about there were some new proposals, some new bills proposed that would make changes to the copyright laws that are being doom and gloomed. I haven't looked into it, but
I think that, you know, it just really depends on, you know, the good news is, he said with a certain amount of ha ha ha, is that currently nothing's going to get through Congress,
which is fine
because they just don't know what they're doing up there. But anyway,
the country is better off when Congress is stuck doing nothing.
I would prefer that the Congress actually did things of value as opposed to just being
Congress cannot
noisy.
Do anything of value.
No, they used to. Once upon a time, there was a thing. It was called government. Governance.
And it's better when it's smaller and out of my way. Okay, so the hotline is 573-42-SCI-FI.
Mm-hmm.
The email address is h2o@scififorme.com.
Yes.
You can always go on Twitter or Facebook and give us a comment there. Here's what we're looking at. The fact that there are so many choices out there, not only in your entertainment content, because now, you know, we were just talking, Vimeo is getting involved in original programming. Mm-hmm. You've got the guy over at FX. He said, "What they're now at? How many scripted shows that they've got on FX?"
There are 20 scripted shows on FX. There are 20 scripted shows, and they are, and then they went from 2 to 20.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think they went from 2 to 20 in the course of a year, but that's not the point. The point is
there's more.
Yeah. There's a lot more.
And you've got all of this reality show programming that's still out there.
Mm-hmm.
MTV is all, you know, is doing all of that now.
Right.
There are a lot of genre shows. There are mm-hmm. a lot of genre shows that you're probably not watching.
Mm-hmm.
Or you watch once and you go away because it didn't catch you.
Well, there are genre shows that I'm not watching because I just don't have time.
Well, or you get something like Minority Report, which is just tumbling in the ratings. I don't think it's going to last very long.
I don't think it should.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't, and that's okay. I wasn't impressed with the show, but the thing is that I bet you there are folks out there who love it.
But, oh, yeah. I'm sure there are.
But we come back to the thing. It's the number of people who are watching.
Well, our own Chris Jensen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's writing recaps for Gotham and Limitless and The Flash.
Mm-hmm.
He's part of Rogues Gallery.
Right.
And he was producing some video for us at one point. We're talking about doing some more again. He's a fan of Minority Report. Mm-hmm. He likes the show.
Yeah.
So this is getting good. Okay.
But it's you know, we... We're getting away from your point, but I want to...
The quality of the show doesn't necessarily mean that the audience is going to be there because they have to find it first.
Well, but... Or you have to have the bully pulpit. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You had the words Marvel in front.
Mm-hmm.
And you had a commitment from the network.
Which is also co-producing the show.
It's co-producing the show.
Yeah.
So they are going to keep the show on through half a season where we sat there and went... Why are you doing this to me? Was I bad today? Did I?
Is it Tuesday all week?
Did I say a bad thing to someone? Why am I watching this? But you know, it paid off. And in the old days, again, old is relative. Like 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You had shows were given a longer time to breathe. I think you know the most egregious example that most genre fans will think of when I say shows canceled too soon, Firefly.
Right.
Okay. Now, admittedly, Fox and genre shows have an iffy track record with some notable exceptions.
Yeah.
But for a long time, it was like, oh, you put it on Friday night on Fox? Well, it was nice while it lasted because it was,
exactly.
You know, that show was doomed.
Yeah.
And, you know, it didn't even get the full run of the episodes that were produced to air in its original form.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
So, you know, so I mean, it's if you don't grab the audience right away.
And they didn't air in order.
Yeah, it's always a good plan.
And the suits sit there and go. We don't get it. We need an episode that just explains it for us and something. You know,
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Kids at home, of all ages, trust your audience. At the end of the day,
good luck with that.
Trust your audience.
And I say that not because of the audience. I say that because of the people in charge who don't trust the audience.
Well,
I don't want people getting the wrong idea.
Get out of the way of the creators. Recognize that sometimes creators need a firm hand because creators can get, you know,
Josh Trank,
George Lucas,
yeah.
talented people who need somebody to sit there and say, don't do that.
Right.
But also don't tie their hands so badly that they can't make the show that you wanted them to make.
Yes.
And
that's the thing.
And that's not just a genre problem. That's a creator. That's an industry problem.
For every George Lucas, you need a Gary Kurtz.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You got to have somebody who sits there and says... Okay, Jason, look. and vice versa. You know, we have an advantage, oddly enough. For
we do?
We do. We have one advantage. One thing. One thing.
Obscurity.
Obscurity.
Yeah.
They can't tell we've screwed up. It's the fact that we have restrictions on us that require us to be more creative. And this is why, this is unfortunately why you see things like Trank situation, where... If you are constrained, usually financially, you got to come up with a solution
mm-hmm.
that doesn't involve throwing money at it. We would love to be in the position that where our solution would be, write him a check.
Right.
You know, that'd be great. We have all kinds of things we would do here if we had a budget of reasonable size.
Well, and that begs the question, because if you look at, you know, you look at the our competition, I guess you could say, you know, IO9, well, Nerdist, and all that.
Okay, they are competition for the eyes of the audience.
That's true. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm talking with my dad the other day. Mm-hmm. We're bouncing back and forth because he's a self-employed contractor mm-hmm. type. That, sure. You know, he consults and he goes off and does these things. So he's got a good head for business. Mm-hmm. And he and I are sitting there talking. He said, if you're not getting feedback from people, you're not getting response from people. You know, people aren't leaving comments. They're not calling the hotline. They're not watching the, you know, you look at the numbers for our video on YouTube. You look at mm-hmm. the page views and whatnot on our site. And given the fact that we've got over 2,000 people following us on Twitter, mm-hmm. and we've got close to 1,500 now on Facebook, mm-hmm. and those numbers aren't reflected in our traffic on the site, he says, you don't have an audience. And you got to figure out how to get the audience. What, mm-hmm. what do you have to do differently in order to generate that traffic, generate that transaction between,
sure.
you know, the provider, which is us, mm-hmm. and the consumer.
Right.
So how do we get our product to market, and how do we get an audience to come in and partake? Mm-hmm. Because there are a lot of different places out there where you get the same general type of content that what
sure.
we do.
Yeah.
So you know I've been doing a lot of thinking. I mentioned before the break my existential crisis over the weekend. You know, this fit of pique, I guess you could say, where I'm looking at everything and just ready to throw it all out. Not because of the quality is bad. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do that. I'm very happy with the work that everybody is doing. It's one of those things where I get extremely frustrated because we have very talented people and we're doing good work mm-hmm. and nobody sees it.
Yeah.
These people deserve the audience. These people deserve to get the eyeballs on their work. How do we do that? And the other question then becomes, are we doing too much of too many different things?
Right.
You know, do we have an identity? Are we spread out too thin or whatever? So we're doing some internal stuff, but I want to ask the people that listen to this show, what are we doing that works? And what are we doing that doesn't work? Are our shows too long? Are they not long enough? Are we covering the right topics? Do you want to hear us talking about other things? I know we've had a request for anime discussion,
right.
and you know that's on that list.
Mm-hmm. And to actually specifically answer that one, because now that we brought it up and we talk about, you know, there's an interaction with our audience, even though you're not physically in the room with us here. Right.
Yes.
And that is, Jason and I don't just do this because we like to hear ourselves talk. We actually don't have to record ourselves to do that.
Exactly.
We don't have to. We would, you know, these are conversations that we would likely be having less structured.
Yeah.
But we'd likely be having, because it'd be like, did you hear about the thing? And be like, oh yeah, that was the thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, and she did that. And then he did this. And comic books, you know, I mean, yeah. we would be having these talks anyway, because this is the stuff we like.
Well, and that's how this started.
Exactly.
Is we were having these conversations already.
Like, why are we recording?
Yeah.
So obviously we're doing it because we think, mm-hmm. we hope that we're moderately entertaining enough to be listened to. Yeah. And
there are numbers that would indicate that we've got some people listening.
Yeah.
And I'm chasing iTunes right now, mm-hmm. because iTunes is a weird beast. iTunes considers all of the content that they distribute, because they don't generate anything. They don't
right.
host.
Sure.
They're just a channel. They, mm-hmm. they're a funnel.
Right.
You feed in from wherever all
and
your stuff
is. And they blow it
out
to the world, yeah.
And then they blow it out to the world, exactly. But since they do it that way, everybody is a customer.
Right.
And so their privacy policy basically keeps them
From telling you what your numbers are.
Yeah, from your numbers.
Right.
Although I have been told from their support people that if you're signed up, if you're in a particular place in the iTunes system,
where you've got the decoder
where
ring,
you're listed as a provider, I think if you have that provider category fit, that you can get stuff. since we don't sell anything, I don't know if that fits. So I'm waiting to hear. I've been chasing iTunes support on this. I was like, yes, we would like to have, we want these numbers. Mm-hmm. We need these numbers to figure out. And they say, okay, you need to do this and this and this. And we've done all of these things trying to figure out if we can get those listener numbers. Because sure. all of the stuff that we've got right now tells me we don't have an audience. Mm-hmm. But I know we do. Mm-hmm. You're going to have more than 20 people listening to the show.
Right.
But you
also have to, even though we are not charging people for our content, you still have to have the feedback of knowing what people are listening to and watching and reading. And in some respects, we can get that from the site's analytics itself.
Some, yeah.
Yeah, but there's other things that we don't. And so having that feedback...
Well, and the site analytics that we've got don't tell me if any of the audio or the video files get played.
Right.
It just says, hey, somebody went and looked at this article.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say how long they were there. It doesn't say if they read it all. It doesn't mm-hmm. say if they played the audio file or anything like that. And those numbers are going to be different from the iTunes numbers.
Sure.
They're going to be different from the Google feed burner numbers, mm-hmm. which I'm told are not reliable in any sense of the word. So I'm just like, great, what are these numbers for then? They're just placeholders. those are the only things that we've got. And, we've talked about this before. I look at our Alexa.com does analysis all of uh-huh. these different websites. And we've got some decent performance numbers there
mm-hmm.
that are comparable to other sites what we do.
Oh yeah. And
it's just a question of scale. They've got the audience, we don't, which either means we're too broad in our appeal because we appeal to 18-65.
Mm-hmm. Which we're everybody else really is proud of.
25-34.
I gotta tell you how much that just makes me, considering my background is in graphic design, so I mean there's a certain amount of advertising built mm-hmm. into that mm-hmm. and looking into that, I'm keenly aware that you niche target everything.
Yeah.
And we don't do that here. And that actually, I'm kind of proud of that because we have an audience that isn't, we're not just going after teenage boys or boys in guys in their 20s. We're going after everybody, men, women, children.
But that makes me want to see the thing about this, because we were talking about the fact that when cable first exploded,
mm-hmm.
all of the channels were specialty channels.
Oh, they were, yeah.
HBO, Cinemax, Skinemax.
Skinemax,
Showtime, mm-hmm. The Learning Channel, A&E, History Channel, all of these different ones. Sci-Fi Channel.
Mm-hmm.
And then the pendulum swung the other way where they're all wanting to generalize.
Well, because they discovered that specializing too much meant you ran into a content problem.
Well, that and you limited the number of your audience.
Yeah.
So your advertisers sat there and go, well, you're not getting enough people.
Right. And between the two of them, between having a specialized audience and a content that because there were A&E's problem was that there was only so many
Russian ballets.
And recorded plays.
Yeah.
How many plays have been filmed? You can suddenly you're out. You've used up your selection. There's only so many times you can play that again.
Yeah.
And again, if you are of a certain age, you can remember when every night they played the same movie on HBO.
Well, and now your art stuff is finding its way toward Fathom. In the movie theaters.
Yeah.
And you're able to watch, Tchaikovsky in the movie theater instead of at home.
Oh, yeah. Which is really cool. But it's also a very strange mm-hmm. change. There's a theater here in town, the Tivoli, plug out to an independently owned movie theater. That puts out it's an art house theater, which is really cool.
Yeah, and they're very good friends of the independent film.
Oh yes, we screened one of our largest film competitions there this summer. One night stand competition. Mm-hmm. The Tivoli. They periodically will do a live broadcast of a British performance.
Oh yeah.
So the Benedict Cumberbatch, Johnny Lee Miller, the two Sherlocks.
Mm-hmm.
They did Frankenstein.
Oh, that's right.
And every night they would flip the roles because it's only two roles. There's the Frankenstein and his monster.
Mm-hmm.
And of course.
And they would swap back and forth.
They would swap back and forth every night.
Oh, cool.
And so they had a live performance and they and they screened it at the Tivoli. It was at a specific time, and I didn't get to see it, and it was like, oh no.
Yeah.
And they did another one with David Warner last year. Mm. So I'm always watching for that. It's like, ooh, because this is coming out of London, and it's the full kind of thing where the production level there is so high that you can watch it on the big screen and not feel like, this is really boring. I'm watching, because you can have a really fantastic stage show, and if it's filmed poorly, it's hard to watch. And
that's like Alien Voices.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being able to watch that on the Sci-Fi Channel, and it's radio theater, but it's radio theater live on stage,
right? Yeah,
and they're you know, it's like you say, if you shoot it wrong, then it could be dull and boring. But you know, Leonard Nimoy. John DeLancey.
They have a little bit of experience
I don't think they're going to be dull and boring.
No.
I would love to get that license from them.
I know. That'd be so cool.
Money. Anyway, but yeah, that's the thing that we're running into, is we're running into this question of who, I don't want to say it's an identity crisis. It's a focus crisis.
Mm.
Not a crisis. It's a focus question.
Right.
Of, you know, are we doing well in particular places? Recaps, mm-hmm. podcasts. I've had some people sit there and say we need to be doing Week in Review again.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be doing short video stuff because video has got to be short for some people's attention spans.
Mm.
Some people don't listen to the podcast because they're too long and they don't have time. And
right.
You know, we're not at the gym anymore, so I don't have the time to sit and listen to anything. You know, I'm not driving in the car for 30 minutes to an hour, so I don't have time to listen to the podcast. Mm. You know, those kinds of things. And I've been experimenting a little bit this week with headlines,
mm-hmm.
On some of our articles, because we both are loathe to use clickbait.
Oh God.
Headlines, but
okay. And it's, I hate to have to do this, but for those of you who don't know what clickbait is, and this is actually education, this is important.
Cinema blend.
This is important actually, because mm-hmm. you should, you know, I'm going to assume that all of you do, but hopefully maybe we have a new listener who doesn't. Hello, new listener. Clickbait is yellow journalism.
Yeah.
It is the 21st century version.
Sensational stuff.
It is okay. So Jason just put up a thing, and he pushed it a little further than he normally would about the change in the Marvel schedule.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and you called that, what was the actual title?
The headline is Marvel Blows Up Phase 3 Plan. Or no, Marvel Blows Phase 3 Out of the Water.
Okay. So this is strictly speaking true, because
they've pretty much changed their
schedule. They came out, how long ago was it? They came out several months ago with the
was
schedule.
Back in May?
Yeah, it might have been May.
Yeah.
Okay. So they came out with this schedule. These are when the films are coming out.
And it was a big production, too.
Oh, yeah.
They had the El Capitan Theater, and mm-hmm. Kevin Feige came out on stage, and there's a big production, right. And a big slideshow, and clips, and promos, and star actors, and stars, mm-hmm. and hey, here's Chris Evans, and oh, hey, here's the guy who's going to play Black Panther. And, blah, 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 blah.
And then they just announced, never mind.
Yeah.
We're doing something else. Okay. So yes, they blew it out of the water.
And I think it's cool they're doing Ant-Man and the Wasp.
That is very cool.
That's coming July.
However,
that gets what used to be Captain Marvel's release date. No, what used to be Black Panther's release date.
So Black Panther and Captain Marvel both got bumped back.
Right.
So, okay.
And there's three dates they announced in 2020, but we don't have titles yet.
Yeah. So clickbait, the clickbait version of that announcement would have been something along the lines of Marvel says no to Captain Marvel movie.
Yeah.
Marvel says audience is not ready for Black Panther.
Yeah.
Okay. They are
Marvel refuses a Black Widow movie.
Right. Okay. So these are things that if you tip your head to the right and pretend you're a dog, and you got that sort of cockeyed look that dogs can kind of sort of get, and you stare at it, it makes a certain amount of sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's also not accurate.
Right.
But it gets your attention. They're short, and they draw your attention to, it's like, you know, it's look at me, look at me, look at me. Right?
Exactly.
And the problem with that is from the standpoint of someone like, say, Jason, myself, the rest of the staff here, is that it's not exactly being audience. No, it's flat. Most of the time, it's a flat out lie. Well, you're lying to your audience.
And I think that
you're
deceiving
your
audience. There are some members of our staff that would not deceive anybody, not lie or anything. But I think they would probably be a little bit. Some of them would probably be a little bit more comfortable going that direction. You know, not making stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
But spinning it in such a way that it's a little bit more sensational than you know, because the site reflects the personality of the overall team, but it does take on a little bit of my personality because I'm old and dull and boring and you know and
but you get a background in journalism, so there's
I've said this before. I'm the 6 p.m. news guy.
There's rules.
We need, you know, we've got to be able to mix it up a little bit and have the, you know, the morning drive rock jock and, you know, the person, we've got to have the mix of personalities.
Yeah, of course.
And right now I think maybe my hands are too far into
it. but we can there's a balancing act, okay,
right, and you, that's what we've got to find,
right? Because you can have a dramatic headline that is truthful, as opposed to, you know, Marvel destroys plans for female led superhero films.
Marvel doubles down on Paul Rudd.
Yeah, or you know.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
technically is true.
Sure, but you have to. There's a difference between. Your headline needs to be backed up by your article,
mm-hmm.
And if it's not,
Marvel denies Scarlett Johansson her spotlight.
Exactly. You know, it's like and currently Marvel is get out fix it Marvel.
Yeah.
But
I want the Black Widow Netflix show.
See, you
Black
know
Widow
what?
On Netflix.
Give me
13 hours of Black Widow to be able to tell her story. In a proper amount of time.
You know what? As successful as the Netflix stuff has been, give me Black Panther.
Sure.
Give me a chance to, you know, delve into the character more than an hour and a half, even if they're pushing it for 2 hours. It's
you call it Marvel's Wakanda.
It's not Marvel Max. What's the other one? They had their.
Oh, right.
I can't remember what it is. But anyway, Marvel has their own little sub-imprints, right?
Yeah. Max is where Alias came from.
Right. And and various flavors of the Punisher.
And you see, they just announced a new Luke Cage Iron Fist title.
Yeah.
Monthly comic
Which
book.
I can't remember when the last...
Well, they're getting set up for the show.
Well, of course. But I can't remember when the last time the comic... was a thing.
Yeah.
It has to be more recent than I think it is, but I keep wanting to say 80s.
I think you're right. Late 80s, early 90s.
Because I want to say they had a Heroes for Hire miniseries or something. I mean, they probably had a miniseries or two in there.
Yeah.
But it looks like we're getting Misty Knight. Mm-hmm. And you're going to, for the fans who want female representation in Marvel movies, you may find it, you're going to find it quicker in Netflix. And in longer form storytelling.
And we have, I don't know if it was Feige or Loeb saying that at some point in the very near future, the movies are going to start referencing back to the TV shows a little bit more. And maybe that's a Feige thing.
It probably is.
Because, you know, it's now that they're reporting straight to Alan Horn and not the creative committee. I'm wondering if that allows them to sit there and go, you know, we need an Ant-Man sequel because it made a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
And now people are going to go, you know, they're reflecting the same attitude that Hope Van Dyne had at the end of that movie where she gets her wasp costume. It's about time, you know, because, it's about time. We're well past the time when we need more female leads or co-leads. So, you know, there is an opportunity there, and there was a lot of response and a lot of positive response that I think sits and tells the Marvel guys, you need more of this. Yes, please.
Well, I think for all the fact that there's too much content out there right now for none of us can watch it all. Okay, that's what it all comes down to. Yep. None of us can watch it all. The fact of the matter is we are getting what is arguably an obscure Marvel character for Jessica Jones.
Mm-hmm.
There was this funny thing that happened when the first Iron Man film came out. People kept reporting that Iron Man was a relatively obscure...
The B-lister. Yeah.
And anyone who has read comic books sat there and went, what are you talking about? But common perception, right?
Sure.
He wasn't Superman or Batman or Captain America or you know, whatever.
The Hulk,
yeah. Whoever was writing the news copy, you know. And we were going, what are you talking about? He was like, he's a founding Avenger. What's wrong with you? Geeks. We're geeks. I love it. But Jessica Jones is a really obscure character if you're gonna call Iron Man a B-lister.
Outside of comics fandom, nobody would know who she is.
And yet, you know, you look at the fact that we're getting a show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really looking forward to it.
And so far, everything in the trailers and the teasers
looks really good. I haven't watched the new one with David Tennant today.
It's good.
I'm sure it is.
It's a good one.
I'm sure it is. It's going to be interesting watching him be the villain.
Yeah.
But to come back to your point, what we were talking about, because we do this here. We digress because we're good at it. It's a skill. It's a talent. We've trained. We get up in the morning and we practice at least 3 digressions before breakfast. not 7 impossible things, but 3 digressions.
That's right.
So... our question to you, oh faithful listener, or occasional listener, or first-time listener, or, you know, whatever, however you listen to us.
Yep.
What are we doing right? What are we doing wrong? What do you want from us that you think that we could do and we've danced up to the edge of and haven't done, or we did once and you wish we'd do again?
Yep.
Or we've never done, and you really wish we would do it. And not necessarily just in terms of content, but, you know, a kind of a story that we told, an article that we wrote where we started something and never finished it. We do that.
We've got a ton of those. I mean, Sci-Fi for Me Journal.
Mm-hmm.
It was an idea that I've had. For years, mm-hmm. that I've wanted to do this kind of a program that's based off of a show that I used to watch growing up when I was in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
It started off as 4 Country Reporter, then it became 8 Country Reporter. Now I think it's Texas Country Reporter. Mm-hmm. It's Bob Phillips going around the different small towns, mm-hmm. around the Dallas area, around, well, now all over Texas really, and finding those obscure stories.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're human interest stories, they're feature stories.
Sure.
They're all over. You can look on YouTube, Texas Country Reporter now. He's got one story about this guy. He's a doctor,
mm-hmm.
in the middle of Texas building a boat. Nowhere near the water.
He just wants to build a boat?
He built a boat.
Okay.
And he built a boat all by himself with no training. Didn't know if he could do it. But he ended up doing it.
Yeah.
Ended up, I think, losing a foot.
after
they put the boat in the
Hang
water.
Hang on.
here's the irony.
I have this boat, though.
he built it.
Yeah.
And they went back and they did a follow-up because he ended up calling Phillips and said, I finally finished it. It was like 6 months past where he expected to be, mm-hmm. finishing. He said, I finally finished it. So they went back to do a follow-up story, and they took it in the boat. He took the boat to the water, and it's seaworthy.
Good, cool.
It works.
Very cool.
And as they've got it in the water, they're getting ready to go. It pulled toward. He stumbled, and it pulled toward the dock, and he got his foot caught between the dock and the boat. So I think he ended up having to get it amputated. Uh-huh. I can't remember, but yeah, it was before he ever got to go anywhere on the boat.
Mm.
He ended up in the hospital because of it.
No.
But yeah, it's those feature stories, those things. And so I did one coming back from Texas. I stopped at Oklahoma City and did a package on Starbase Studios,
mm-hmm.
in Oklahoma City. They've got this fully done, detailed bridge set, Star Trek original series bridge set down there that they'll let anybody use.
Mm-hmm, right.
And I shot, you know, we shot a promo down there, did some interviews with the guys that run it. And I, my original thought was to do one of these a month where we do these longer video packages that feature things. There's Crystal Starr, who's a cosplayer down in Dallas. She works with special needs kids.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to do a you know, talk to her. You know, Mark Zickery out in California is working on Space Command as a new web series movie.
Right.
Book combination stuff. And, you know, there's a lot of different ideas we have for that show. But it's, again, we get back to having limited resources. You've got all of these different things that we want to do. You know, Weekend Review, Comic Con Carne, 8-Bits, all of the stuff that's just kind of sitting out there on the back burner because we don't do it anymore because we just flat out do too much.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that's, I mean, I want to do a thing on science fiction artists and fantasy artists. We had the Spectrum Art Show here. Mm-hmm.
Which is moving to San Francisco. Yeah.
That's too bad. Well, I mean, you know, it happens, but it's too bad.
I think San Francisco. It's moving to California.
No. Is the publisher moving out there too?
I don't know.
Because the publisher's here.
No, it's a different group, I think, does the show than the publishers.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not sure. We'll have to look into that. But anyway, I wanted to do a thing on the music, science fiction and fantasy music.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's just, we run into the hours in a day.
There's the science podcast we haven't picked back up yet.
We would love to get back into doing more science stuff.
But that raises the question, then again, you know, you look at the list of everything we do, everything we want to do, and now you've got to start crossing things off, things we have time to do.
Right.
And from that, maybe we should have a list of things we should do.
Right. And
as
that's,
opposed
and
to things we shouldn't do. And that's where our audience comes in.
That's our question to you.
So that's where the feedback. Yeah. So comments either on the social media. You know, Facebook and Twitter is where we're going to get the most interaction, I think, from people who are responding to the different things that we post. But if you're finding us on Tumblr, then you can put something there as well.
Yeah.
Sci-fi4me.com. We've got, you know, you could put a comment there or call our hotline 573-42-SCI-FI or send us an email h20@sci-fi4me.com. We're going to read all of them. We're going to listen to all of them. We want to do this better. We want to do this in a way that gets an audience.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, it is, you know, the money part of it is not anything on there. It's basically we've got a talented group of people who deserve to get seen.
Well, and
how do we do that?
And we want to entertain you. The listener.
Yeah, because it's sci-fi for me, and the me is you out there in podcast land.
Yeah, because I mean the goal here is that, you know, this is a community, and it's a spread out community. Yep. It's a community that's all over, you know, all over the world. We're fans. And we all enjoy this stuff, and we think it's cool, and that's why we do this anyway. We think it's fun. Are we entertaining you?
Are we? Well,
is this not entertainment?
There's two questions there. Are we entertaining you, or are we informing you? Are we delivering on your expectations?
What are we doing that you like? What can we do better?
Yep.
What do you feel is working that we do? And
you can compare us to the other place, because there are, you know, like it's just like all of the TV shows that are on the air, all of the different things that you can consume as a media consumer, as an audience member, mm-hmm. as somebody who watches TV or reads, you know, reads books and reads comic books and watches movies, and I mean, all of this content that's out there now. I think you're right. I think we are at a tipping point where, well, Kendall has even said this about the superhero movies, that we're on the bubble.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the bubble is about to burst. It's just a question of when. You know, we've all had our various different predictions of how long it's going to take, but it's going to happen.
Right.
And I think TV is the same way. At some point, you're going to have, you know, if we're not there now, we're going to be there very soon. We've got too much of a good thing. And you look at the websites that are out there that cover the genre, and not just the big ones that have got deep corporate pockets.
Right.
But all of the different little ones that are out there, too, at some point, there are too many. So what, audience member, what brings you to us?
Yeah. That's and ultimately, you know, what... exactly that. What brings you to us? What makes us the place that you come to?
And how do we do more of it? That's what we got to figure out.
Because we'd like to do more. We'd like to do, you know, we've got you here. You're listening. Mm-hmm. Why are you listening? You're reading. Why are you reading it? Why are you coming to us for that?
Yeah.
And if you, like, better ways to do it, we'd love to hear them.
Yep. And if you're listening to us now at the end of the show, then congratulations, you get a gold star.
Because, and a cookie.
Yeah, and a cookie.
You have to come to the studio to get the cookie. And the bunker is a secret location, of course. So we trust you.
It's a metaphorical cookie.
We have faith in your audience. And
yes, and we would like that audience to be bigger.
And there's a knock at the door.
Yeah.
I've come for my cookie.
Telegram.
Okay, right. Turn to the old person next to you.
Yeah, exactly. All right, that's going to do it for us this time. Like I said, our feedback is, you know, the lines are open, I guess you could say, 573-42-SCIFI, h2o@scififorme.com, or leave a comment on our social media. We are on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, Google+, Tumblr, and YouTube, and all of our regular content or news stuff that you can consume over at scififorme.com. You can leave a comment there as well.
Mm-hmm.
And by all means, feel free to share the content. If you've got friends that are fans of the genre, mm-hmm. don't keep it to yourself.
Okay, don't be selfish.
Don't be selfish.
Your mother taught you to share.
That's right. Tell us what we're doing right. Tell us where we need to improve.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be back next week.
Yes, sir. Thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of scififorme.com. Copyright 2015 by Flaming Dog Media, LLC. All rights reserved. No portion of this program may be retransmitted without the express written consent of Flaming Dog Media. This is Sci-Fi For Me Radio.